Good morning. Wonderful to see all of you. I'm Leslie Cantor. I'm the Vice President of Education for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And it's always a great privilege to have an opportunity to speak at APHA. I have a number of collaborators on this project, a few of whom are in the room with me, who I want to acknowledge right off the bat, in particular Dr. Vincent Guillamo-Ramos from NYU and co-director of the Center on Latino Adolescent and Family Health at NYU is here. And he and Jim Jackard are principal investigators on the efficacy trial of the chat text program, which I'll be speaking about. I also wanted to acknowledge two members of my team who are with me today, Jennifer Johnson and Nicole Cushman, who work very closely with me on this project. So I think all of us in public health are really trying to figure out how can we use new mechanisms to reach more people effectively. That's our job. And then once we do that, we've got to figure out if we're reaching people and we're doing anything for them. So I'm going to tell you about an effort to do both of those things. As always, I don't get any money really for anything I do in my life, so I have no disclosures. So I don't need to throw a lot of statistics at you to convince you that our young people are constantly plugged into technology, in particular smartphones, which if you have a teenager and you try to pry this out of their hand, you will have to take their hand with you in order to get it. I think for those of us who care a lot about disparities, one piece which was already mentioned by one of our other presenters is that the digital divide that was true for so long and is still true in terms of high-speed internet connectivity to computers, there is still an enormous disparity by socioeconomics and by race and ethnicity. But when it comes to actually smartphones, most of that disparity has dropped out. So for those of us trying to figure out interventions, figuring out what to do on the phones, and then, of course, quickly adapt that when we go to some new technology is absolutely critical. At Planned Parenthood, we know that we have an opportunity to reach people using technology. And we know that because while we are extraordinarily proud of the 3 million people who come to us in person for health center visits every year, and the 1.5 million people that we reach in person with education, we already reach 30 million people a year on our website. Now, I am in no way suggesting that those are equivalent interactions. I want you to understand that. I'm about to talk to you about what you have to do to actually make a difference for people when you're interacting with them in terms of technology. But the point is, if you want to get to a lot of people, using the digital space makes a lot of sense. So 4 years ago, just prior to my coming to Planned Parenthood, there was a decision to launch a chat text program. And the original idea was really for this to be the more modern version of the old hotline. People call up when they're anxious and they're stressed out, they have questions, and you help them. And since people in this generation really don't want to talk to you on the phone, does everybody realize that? They would much rather text or do some kind of online chat. That was the original idea. And it was originally not conceived around a theory of change and so on and so forth. However, you know, when you start hanging out with these scientific characters from NYU, they start really pushing you on, are you really making a difference? Are you really tapping on all 10 determinants which we well know have to do with what gets people to do the next thing? And then you've got to totally retrofit your whole intervention, which we have done. So we still do, of course, give immediate answers to questions. We, of course, link to health services, and we do work very hard to make sure that we are reaching people who are experiencing disparities. But now we really try to do it against theory. This is just a look at a chat transcript. I'm not going to have the chance today to read these to you, but there's a handout you can take on your way out. And we really do hear a lot of the same anxieties again and again and again. Most often, people get in touch with us when some kind of unprotected sex has happened, intentionally or unintentionally. And very often, people are panicked that they're pregnant, even if the interaction happened 12 hours ago. So for all of you who are doing basic sex education, I'm here to tell you there is still an enormous need to help people even on the issues of how and when pregnancy happens. And because we are trying to reach younger people, particularly teenagers who don't have a lot of experience, it's just not the same to have a list of frequently asked questions. They get enormous comfort out of being able to describe the exact situation that happened to them, down to, no, I need to let you know what I was wearing and what he was wearing. And it's not enough to say, you know what, if that ended up outside your body, you're probably okay. I am not putting up the unified theory of behavior for you. However, if you'd like to look at it afterwards, I have many slides on that. But I did want to give you a sense of how you translate this in the context of a chat or text interaction, which is not necessarily very long. So what we've really tried to do is, of course, start where people are, start with their question or concern, but we really upsell them now. So those people who are coming to us worried in the moment that they could be pregnant, and with many, many of them, we're fortunately able to say, hey, you couldn't be pregnant yet. You're still eligible for emergency contraception. But then we launch right into the upsell, and we start to ask them about whether they would be willing to consider a more effective method, because of course anybody in that situation could use a more effective method of birth control. So I wanted to give you a feel that once we get people there, we work on having them say back to us through chat or text what kind of the key message is. We want to get to their reservations. We want to make sure they have a plan. Again, when we started at this, this looked like just giving people the phone number for the health center, and that was the end of the interaction. I think we all know that's not enough really to get people into that health center. That would be a very motivated person. That's not the person that we're worried about. So then you want to really have them confirm the plan, identify any barriers, problem solve systematically to those barriers, and then reaffirm their next steps. So that's what we're trying to do in the interaction. We have served over 400,000 people in this program in the 4 years. 88% of them are female. 45% of them are teenagers ages 15 to 19. And I'm very gratified to say that more than half of the folks that we're reaching are young people of color. Again, we've had a chance to look at some of the data today. The disparities are enormous. And we've got to keep making sure both our outreach for our interventions and the interventions themselves are really and truly culturally competent. In terms of the topics that get discussed, this is going to add up to more than 100%. And what I just told you is we're making everybody upsell to birth control, so I'm delighted to see when I pulled the data that, in fact, that is the most talked about topic. If it wasn't, I was going to be very, very distressed. But it is, so that's good. We do ask some things already, and what we use right now for our little minor piece of evaluation we've been able to do to date is a sort of pre- and post-test right before and after the interaction. So we do, of course, ask people if they liked it, if it was helpful. Yes, they like it. It's helpful. Okay. We also put in an intention measure, and over 90% of folks do agree or strongly agree that they will take the next steps that were discussed. And, of course, we are giving our health center information. The other thing is that this did start off as sort of a way to help reduce anxiety, and some of the idea was that if people were less anxious, they might be more able to take the next step, and there is a 10 percentage point decline in worry over the course of just that interaction. But that wasn't good enough. It felt like after 4 years and 400,000 people that we really needed to take a look at whether this works and has some behavioral outcomes beyond just someone saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll do the next thing. So we are testing out, using an experimental design, which I'll show you a little bit more about, the chat text service versus what would be our treatment as usual, which would really be our website. Now, if we just wanted to make sure that this thing worked, we would try to use a real control and just sort of fling people out into the web and maybe they'd show up at Yahoo. But we felt like with Planned Parenthood, we could not withhold good information from people, even for purposes of rigorous research. So we're creating a complicated thing for ourselves. What we're going to measure in terms of outcomes is health center appointments, including time to appointment, because it may be that people who go on the website get there, but that maybe doing that very careful interaction back and forth with a person on the other end of the chat or text gets them there faster. We're also hoping that we're priming people for the most effective forms of birth control, so we'll see choices of more effective methods by the folks who have chat text versus the website. We hope we'll see more dual use of condoms and birth control, and we're going to ask about self-reported unintended pregnancies. So that's the study design. Got it? Everybody's good? I'll just go right by this. So in terms of study design, we will randomly assign people to the control group, the website, or the intervention, which is the chat text intervention. We will also have one group at baseline that will only do the baseline measure to establish the equivalence of those groups. We will recruit 8,000 people for this purpose. We are looking at 15 to 24-year-olds. We do want folks who are sexually active, so we are going to ask for a screening question, whether folks were sexually active in the past 30 days. We want folks who haven't used the service before. And we're recruiting by metropolitan statistical area. So we are going to be in 4 MSAs, the Los Angeles MSA, the Chicago area MSA, the Philadelphia MSA, and the New York MSA. We are recruiting both doing digital marketing online, and we will also be recruiting from a couple of those MSAs from our own website, mainly because the cost of doing the digital marketing really became prohibitive. And as I said before, we have a lot of people coming to the website, so it's a nice, less expensive place to advertise for the study. What I wanted to share with you is some lessons that we've already learned, because I think in some ways, maybe this doesn't sound so easy the way I put it, but it sounds like such an enormous opportunity. You can recruit so many people, right? Everybody's trying to figure out how do we do both interventions and then, of course, research in the digital environment. And so I'm here to offer you some cautions. But I also want you to be brave, because frankly it would have been a lot easier if a few people went down the chute ahead of us. So let's get in the game. What I want to tell you is that even though a lot in the digital space is a lot less expensive than in person, we have found so far, as we have tested this out, that recruiting people into our study is not any less expensive than what recruitment is in person. And we really made a mistake on that, because we've had such good luck getting people to our interventions using digital marketing that we use some of the same economic assumptions, and they haven't held up. So from what we've tested, we haven't started the recruitment. I'll get to that. But it looks like it may be about $60 a person to bring them into the study. So it's pretty expensive. Another thing is, so far, there is no off-the-shelf research system that will do this for you. Now, once we get done, and our partner in crime in the digital research space is in the room, once we get done, there will be one. So that's why I say it's better to come after us. So that's great. But just know that most likely at this stage of the game, you're going to need quite a bit of customization to be able to do something as sophisticated as this design. And I didn't actually point out, hopefully you noticed it on the slide, I mean, we are doing a 6-month longitudinal study. There's a lot of concern about fraud in the digital space. Yes, it can seem like a nice, smart thing to do to slap up an ad that says, want to be in a study and make $70. There are some folks who've gone ahead of us on this path and have found that all of their subjects have been one guy with a really good bot. You know, our studies, when you offer monetary incentives, those are certainly going to be very attractive to folks who want to just get the money. So we've got to be really careful about fraud. Attrition is an enormous problem. You already heard regular in-person stuff. Attrition is a big deal. In the digital space, it's an even bigger deal. And again, a lot of very, very good researchers have had problems with their attrition going above 50%, at which point it's hard for you to say much of anything. I will also tell you that doing research in an organization where you are one entity among almost 70 and you have to explain all of this to folks who aren't used to research, that has its own complexity. But I'm very proud to say that all 22 CEOs from those metropolitan statistical areas have now agreed to let us do this digital recruiting in their area. And then I think the last thing, and in some ways this is the most interesting, but any of you who want to talk about it, I think Vincent or myself would be happy to stick around afterwards, but the way that we've done research traditionally is very different than what people expect to have happen in the digital space. People don't expect to have to read long consent forms and things like that. So adapting all of our science to this new venue is really an interesting process. So I won't show you the recruitment video. I'm not yet having to just recruit at APHA, but if I'm back next year asking you to be in the study, you'll know how it went. Thanks.